away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Was it in there? Okay. Behold, Kelly, my phone's right there. If my wife exits, we were waiting for a mechanic. Somehow they accidentally didn't do something either. They didn't put the plug in or something because there was oil all over the ground. It's a pipe. It's a paper oil filter on the Cadillac for some reason. I don't know why. You think a Cadillac, it wouldn't be paper, right? It's like a paper filter or something. I don't know. I said paper? Yeah. So I don't know. So, but that's all right. Praise God. Amen. That we didn't drive or thank. Wow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. So you could look at it and be discouraged, or you could be thankful that my car is not broke down. Amen. It'll be fixed. He said he was on his way to get it. So praise God. He needs the car. I said, make sure you get the car there. So, amen. Hallelujah. Like we were saying, this, I love that song. Behold the Lamb. He's worthy of our praise. John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To behold Him. You know, we need to behold Him, to take hold of Him, to look upon Him in our lives, our daily lives, to behold Him. And that needs to be a daily thing, something we constantly do, make ourselves aware to behold Him. We behold a lot of things out there. Come on, amen. We behold problems. We behold situations, things that come our way. But behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And that's so powerful for us to take hold of that. I'm going to give you a scripture. It's in Philippians 2, I believe. This was in my heart. I'm going to start off here and we'll see where we go. Amen? Y'all ready for a ride? Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless this word. In your name we pray. Amen. This is wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence. This is Paul. He's talking to the church and he's declaring some things. And he's telling them this. He says, this is what I desire from you. That there's something that we need to do as men and women of God. Because a lot of things were coming against them. They were letting things overpower them. They were letting things, situations and problems, take hold of them. And we are children of the Most High God. Amen? We are to take hold of things and not let things take hold of us. And so, here's what he says. He says, I desire that you work out your own salvation. Sometimes you look at that and you think, wait a minute. I'm not talking about working out a salvation on our own in a sense where that we receive salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen? I am saved in Jesus' name. But he's talking about working out of us, they work out of you. There's a salvation, complete self working out of our lives in daily experiences that we go through things, that we're working out of us, of our lives, daily living. Amen? Daily living. And he says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Work it out of you. It's got to work out of you. It's got to come up out of you. It's got to work out of our lives. Because we battle with, there's the two natures that we have in our lives, the spirit and flesh. And one of them has got to be dominant. Amen? There's one of those that we let become dominant. They will step to the side. Or one will go in the forefront. We need to declare. We need to let the Spirit of God arise. Let the Spirit of God arise. Let Him rise up in me. Because the Bible says that we are the temple of God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's the hope of glory. It's letting God work out of you. It's walking in experience. It's walking in relationship. He says, they that abide in the Most High place, that we need to make it. We need to let it work out of us. We need to continue to let it come out of our lives. And we're going to give you a couple scriptures just to back this up. He says, for it is God which worketh in you. It's God that's desiring to work in you and work out of you. You know, so many times we take hold of, we receive our salvation in our lives, but we need to let that salvation work out of our lives. That's where we begin to become overcomers. That's where other people begin to see the light. That's where other people begin to experience that we are the salt of the earth. Amen? Is what are you doing? You're letting that work out of your life. It's daily living. That's powerful. See, when we can take hold of that and we can walk in that power and that might and let it work out of our lives. And it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we got to know that here's the thing. Sometimes in our lives we got to know that God's good.
And He's good all the time. And everything in my life, I got to trust God in the midst of that thing and know that, God, You're good. I'm going to trust You in the midst of this, God. Whatever we're going through, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to believe. No, whatever comes against me, listen, this is what believing and having faith, letting it work out of you. Because here's the problem. There are so many things on the outside that we see around us, circumstances, situations, temptations. There's things that are always battling on the outside that we have to let Him work out of us, in the midst of us. That's power. So He says, and He wants to declare and decree. We need to let God speak in our lives. We need to let Him declare some things in our lives. We need to let the Spirit of God speak out of the situation. So many times we let our flesh talk for us. We let our emotions talk for us. We let fear talk for us. But we need to let the Spirit of God speak out of our lives. Wow. That's where we take hold of. That's why it's so important to take hold of the Word, to grab hold of the Word and read the Word of God, to have that and let that Word come up forth out of your life. Let that Word, declare that Word. Let God speak in your life to declare and will things, to will things. We've been talking about this where that Adam and Eve, remember, that God says, He says, I've called you to subdue the land. Take hold of it. Remember? To conquer, to overcome, to be victorious. And remember the first thing that happened, Adam and Eve were tempted. And what did they do? They carried a conversation on with the enemy. They carried a conversation. Instead of subduing it and taking hold of it and letting the Spirit of God speak out of them. Because what do we see? Behold the Lamb of God. What did Jesus do? Tell someone what Jesus did. Here's what He did. Remember, He was in the wilderness. He began to declare and let the Word of God speak out of His life in temptation in the wilderness. He spoke the Word of God. He spoke the Word. He declared the Word of God. Came forth out of Him. He declared that Word. He says, and do His good pleasure to declare and effect. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Disagreeing thoughts. That's what I wrote down. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Sometimes we argue with God. Come on. Sometimes we argue with God. Sometimes we try to discuss the situation. Sometimes we begin to walk in disagreement with what God's saying. And we need to walk in the Spirit. Come on, not against the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit. We need to flow with the Spirit. We need to walk in that place where we know, behold the Lamb of God. Amen? We need to stay in that place. But the Bible says, it talks about how that He says that you could be back and forth. Remember, we talked about this, how that we're to stay continually in that. We need to stand in that faith. Stay in that place. Don't be moved. Don't be shaken. But stay in that place. Let's look at, let me see. I think I got it in here. There it is. Say prayer. Come on. God, yes. It's funny. When you don't have a car, it kind of, you're like, you don't have that car. What's that? You need a ride home. I need a ride home. It's sometimes you don't realize how much you need it until you don't have it. Come on. The Bible says in James 1:2, it says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fell into manifold temptations, listen. How many of you jump for joy whenever you fall into temptations? Now, this is what James is saying. He says, well, count it all joy. So we got to understand, okay, what is James declaring? And this is what he's declaring, that your spirit, that the Spirit works out of you. Work out your salvation. Amen? So that when we go through temptations, he says, praise God, because let God work out of you, and He gets the glory for it. Amen? So out of the midst of the situation, you could step back and watch God do it instead of us panicking getting overwhelmed by the situation, but letting God work out of us, trusting Him by faith, believing, seeing that God's got this thing. Remember last week we talked about, on Saturday, we talked about how God was calling us deeper, and Jesus told His disciples to launch out into the deep. Remember, He said, launch out into the deep. Now, that's a whole sermon. I don't even want to get into it because I'll start preaching, but this was powerful because Jesus says, launch out in the deep. He went out a little bit, and then He was going to go even farther. God draws us little by little. Work it out of you. So there was that place where you stand on solid ground, and you feel confident. But then there's that moment when God says, come on, get in the boat. Whether you don't feel the ground no more, but you're safe enough to jump off if you have to. But unfortunately, being outside from the beach to where Jesus was, sometimes it gets hard to hear. I want to behold the Lamb. I want to be right where He is. I want to be at that place where what you're declaring, I want to declare. So where they were like, what did He say? And sometimes if we're not, don't have an ear to hear, if we're not in that place to hear what God's saying, then we can become misled. We can fall. So here He was. He says, go out, launch out a little deep. Now remember this. It says when Jesus met them, what were they doing? They were cleaning their... Listen, they were done. Tell your neighbor they were done. There's sometimes when you're done. We good? What happened? So it's all fixed? It's sitting there ready to go? Praise God. Come on, you guys could have done better than that. Come on. So here He was. This is Jesus. And the disciples, this is God challenging us. I want you to know, count it all joy. God's with us. You're never alone. That God's always... So whatever happens, we got to know that God's with us. He's with us. That God is for us, not against us. So whatever we go through, we got to count it joy, saying, God, this is opportunity. This is opportunity for You to get the glory. So here He was. He goes out a little bit farther. He's going deeper. And they were challenged because their nets were clean. They were done. There's some times where, you know what, I tried that, and this is what Peter said. Peter said to him, he says, well, and Jesus, he says, cast your nets out, and think about this. And what did He say to him? He said, we've already done this. We've already tried this. See, this is where sometimes our flesh argues with God. Instead of beholding Him, instead of staying in that place, sometimes we step out of that space and we begin to rely on what we know. See, what He knew was all night long they fished there. There was nothing there. He's been a fisherman for all of His life. He knows everything about that. Sometimes what we do that fails us is we trust in our own instincts. We trust in our own ability. We trust in our own power, but it fails us. But it's comfortable sometimes. And Jesus was challenging them to let Him work out of them. How does He do that? He tells them, He says, cast your nets out. And Peter says, he said, we've already done this. He says, but at your word, everything inside me says, no, don't do it. But your word says, do it. Take it. You'll be blessed. And I want you to know that we've been saying this, that listen, the blessing was in the deep. It wasn't in the shallow. He could hear. You could hear Jesus. You could have that experience. But it was in the deep places. It was in that place where that we become out of control and He becomes in control. It's the place where we lose control and let God be God. That's where miracles happen. That's where change happens. And that's where God begins, that other people around us begin to experience the glory of God. Because we let it happen. Amen? So he says, count it all joy. Yay! When we fall into manifold temptations. Sorry. It's one of the two. It's either really hot in this place or it's really cold. We're trying to experience, there's different temperatures. So we turned it on a little bit early, maybe a little bit too early. So he says, knowing, count all joy, manifold temptations. We're going to go through things. Now we got to know that. We know that we go through things every day. There's battles that take on. There's things that happen. And then we have to learn to trust. He says, work it out every day. We need to let God work out of us every day. His mercies are new every morning. Let them work out of you. Amen. Let them work out of you. And what do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. Is that because sometimes you are faced with something, like just a situation where somebody upsets you. At that moment, you can let God work out of you or your flesh. You've been in a grocery line. and you're in a hurry, and that person in front of you got 26 items because you counted them, and it's a 20-item aisle, and you got two, and you're trying to get their attention, maybe they'll have some mercy on you and say, go ahead and get in front of me. But no, 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 no. They're in a hurry because they're not in the other aisles that are packed because they... And you're standing in that moment. It's those moments right there. I know they're simple. I know they're simple, but I want you to know those are challenges that happen to us every day. And I want you to know that when we begin to respond with our flesh, it becomes a habit. It becomes something that becomes natural to us. But in the other hand, if we let God work out of us, God, give me patience. This is what it says right here. He says, knowing that proving of your faith worketh patience. It's working out of you. Patience. Learning to behold the Lamb of God. Learning to wait upon the Lord to work out of your life. God, you have the glory. You do what you got to do, God. Have your way. And he says, let patience have its perfect work. Perfect work. God's at work in our lives. God's desiring to work in our lives every day. For better relationships, for better church relationships, better work environments. Come on. All around. That our lives overflow God. That our lives overflow the Spirit of God. Well, you know, there's those that are thirsty. He says, those that are thirsty, come unto me. I want you to know that Christ in me, the hope of glory. That He wants to use you to give those that are hurting out there something to drink. And it's not from our flesh. Where's it from? Faith working out of me. Being at that place of trusting God, where the God's working. I want you to see this. I want you to know that Peter and John, they went through so many trials and temptations, but they have had their failures, they had their situations, they bailed on Jesus at the last moments. Remember, they ran, they betrayed Jesus, they ran from it, but they came back. Amen. They came back to Him because they knew, there's nothing else. I need you, God. I've tasted of you, and there's nothing better in this world than you. They had a moment of failure. We have those moments, but don't let it stay there. Come on, amen. Get back up and behold the Lamb of God. Get back up in those situations. Don't let them overcome you because you're a mighty warrior. And at that moment, what happened was they would let God work out of their lives, continue to work out of them, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of rejection. They were letting God work out of their lives. And they were at a place where that they would walk in the shadow of their presence. People were healed. I want you to know it wasn't them. It was what was working out of them. Hallelujah. It was Christ. It was the image of God. It was the likeness of God. And I want you to know it cost something for that right there. It cost us being at that place, staying in that place, not stepping out, not being like a boat back and forth, tossed to and fro. Come on, I mean, every situation knocks us off. But no, being able to stand there doesn't mean that you're going to sometimes have moments where you, ooh, but no. You ever have those moments? But no, get back in that place. That's why he says to abide, those that abide. He says, I desire you to abide here, to stay here. Don't leave. He never leaves me, but I want you to know, come on, we talk about this all the time. He never leaves me. Tell your neighbor, he never leaves me. Never leaves me nor forsakes me. But here's the thing. I check out sometimes. We check out sometimes. We become faithless in him. We become not trusting in him. We step to the side. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge God in everything. We need to acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Trust Him. Say, God, you got this, man. And he says, let patience have its work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. He wants us lacking in nothing. Lacking nothing. That we are full. Full. Mature in Christ. That we are grown up in Him. That I am hid in Christ. I'm made in Christ. No longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. Come on, he gives us those words to declare for a reason. Why? So that I can confess them, and I can believe them, and I can abide in them words. And not check out, but stay. Let them overwhelm me. And that's the greatest thing. I want you to know that David, when he was in a situation where the first thing that happened, he got anointed to be king. And the first thing he does is go back out into the field and take care of sheep. It don't look like he's a king. It don't smell like. He's chasing sheep around. They're messy. They're dumb. She's a farmer. She knows. Very non-intelligent. And God uses us as being sheep. That's why we need Him as our shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. So here he was. He was in that sick situation. He was in that place. And I want you to know that this is what happened. He began to let the Spirit of God work up out of his life. He began to let that. Because we are called to possess the land. I want you to know that it's not just a place. It is, we got to understand, it's the promises of God that are in me, that has been given to me, that God has placed in my life. It's the promises of God that He's declared. Everything I need is in Jesus Christ. It's in Him. He says, I've given you the land. Go possess it. Remember, they used the whole example of Moses going to possess the land. There was all the Sadducites, the... Who were they? Gideonites, the Amorites, the Herites, all those ites. And every one of them have an example that you could look up and see that every one of them are things that we deal with daily. And he says, subdue them. Not with your power, but let the salvation of God work out of you to overcome them. That there's no more enemies left in the land. I want us to understand that and know that this is the promised land of God. The will of God is you. Tell your neighbor it's you. Sometimes we wonder what the will of God is. It's you. You are His will. He desires you. He went to the cross for you. To prepare a place for you with Him. That you can abide in. That you can walk on this land and overcome. And not be overcome anymore. And not be overwhelmed. Not to be overtaken. Not to be beaten up. But to be stand in the boldness of who He is in our lives. And it takes time to work out of us. Because we subdue it sometimes. Out of fear and doubt. So here he was. David was at that place. Whether he was trusting God. He was trusting Him. That even though it didn't come his way. Even though it didn't happen right away. But he still acted like a king. He still walked like a king. He still walked in that authority and that power that the Father gave him. And he had a testimony. I want you to know this is how we possess the land. Is that David had a testimony of what God... He worked out of him. It didn't begin with Goliath. It began with a lion. And a bear. He began to work his way up. Start on the shore. Then go a little deep. And then go deeper. So I want you to know that God's working through us. He's patient. That He works out of our lives. So we have overflow. So David was at that place where he was worked all that way through that place. And then here's Goliath there. He walked with confidence because he's seen God do these things. I want you to know that's what happens when we let God work out of our lives. When we don't let our flesh control us. Out of lust and desires and those things out of sin, but letting God work out of us, He had a testimony. Say testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we shall overcome. And it's having that testimony of God working out of my lives that gives me the power to overcome. It reminds me of what God did. And you remind yourself of it when the enemy's telling you, God's not there for you. God's not going to do this for you. You're not going to make it. You're not going to do this or that. You've got to remind the enemy of what God did for you. That we gave God opportunity every day to show us, to work out of us. So David went to that place, and then all of a sudden Saul that came there. Listen, Saul speaks of the flesh. Two natures. David was a king. speaks of the spirit. Saul speaks of the flesh. And there was two battling for position. Come on, remember that? They were battling for position. They were battling for authority. There's a battle having. The Bible says there's a battle raging. There's a battle that's fighting for position. But we've already won in Jesus Christ. We just got to let it work out of us. We just got to let it work out of us. Amen. We need to trust in the Lord. So here he goes. He's in this position. He's at this place. And right before he goes into battle, the enemy always wants to get you before you go into battles. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to give up and run the other way. Like everybody else in the Israel army, they were running. But he went and he says he's going to go. And the first thing that the enemy will try to do is try to get you to put on something that's not yours. And Saul tried to put his armor on David. He tried to put it on him. And David did. He put it on him and his helmet didn't fit. Went around, couldn't see what he was doing. The shield was heavy. The sword was heavy. The armor that was upon him was pulling him down. And he took it off. He says, I haven't tested this. This isn't mine. And he went with what God gave him, what was working out of him. He trusted God. I want you to know that it doesn't make sense. That's sometimes the hardest thing, because a lot of things that God asks us to do doesn't make sense. And this is what I mean, because David, everything that Saul was giving him was actually making him probably think, it would make me think, well, this is probably a lot better than what I have. What does he have? A slingshot. A rock and a rope. Maybe a knife would be better. See, in his natural mind, he's thinking, that's what happens. See, the enemy wants us to question God. To disagree and murmur about what God says about you. About what you are and what he can do. But David said, no. He says, God, if God be for me, who could be against me? This giant's big and I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense. Kind of like Joshua, when God told him, he says, hey, listen, you're a mighty warrior. You're great, but you're not going to fight this battle. You're going to take the band, the praise band. We're going to take the worship team. Yeah. He says, send out the trumpets and the drums. He says, and the walls will fall. At that moment is the moment where we say, well, I don't know if that's going to work. That's when we battle. Come on, I want us to get this and know. This is where a battle of whether or not God's going to work out of me or my flesh is going to continue to do the same thing over and over again. And go in circles, round and round, round and round. Man, they run around seven times. Every time they went around, they're like, man, hopefully, not me, maybe this time, maybe this. But the walls fell down. It didn't make sense. See, that's a beautiful thing about God. What's impossible for man is possible with God. So whatever impossible thing that you think, I want you to know the God that's in you can make it possible. The God that's in me can make it possible. I don't have to do it. I don't have to try to do it on my own. I just need to let God step back. Let God work out of me. Let God be God. Let him do what you do. He's a miracle working God. He's a promise keeper. That's who he is. Amen. He's the light and darkness. That's who he is. Let him do what he does. Do what you do, God. Amen? So that's what we do. We trust him. He says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. He says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally, upbraideth, blah, blah, blah. That's it there. Blessed is the man that endureth. For when he hath been approved, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man. But man is tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust, from what he knows and thinks is right. The Bible says that there's a way to a man that seems right, but in the end, is death. Sometimes we hold on to a lot of ideas that we think's right. Man, if I just do this, if I just plow through, if I just try to do this on my own, that it might work out. I want you to know, he says it is death. But the Spirit is life. They that walk in the Spirit. Amen? And he says, but each man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust. Then lust, when it is hath conceived, bears sin. And sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. Now listen, just as much as it's declared that right there, when it brings forth, it comes in our lives, it begins to produce. Listen, I want you to see this. Then the lust, when it is conceived, it bears sin. He says, and sin, when it is full grown, bringeth death. I want you to understand that, listen, when I receive as a mustard seed, faith, believing that God's in me, that I am a habitation of God, the kingdom of God is in me with full potential, everything that it is. Just think of the kingdom of God and all its power, all of its might, all the authority is in me. I am who you say I am. And then that is the hardest part, is when you believe that faith conceives and brings forth, begins to grow, that it matures and it grows up, that we come to the full stature of Christ, that no longer me, but Christ in me, that you see Christ. The enemy, I want you to know that, God, listen, the only way the enemy has any address where I am is when I give it up. And when I give it up, is how do I give it up? When I respond to my lust or my thinking, my own flesh, when I respond to that, I give him my GPS location. Here I am. The Bible says, give the devil no place. Give him no opportunity. Don't give him a foothold. What we do is begin to give him footholds, places to step up. One of those is anger. Some of this is just understanding self-control. It's not letting our flesh roll us and take over us. And come on, you all know this, because listen, our flesh, when you're hungry, I don't know, when I'm hungry, I get hangry. I do sometimes, and I see it. But if that's what the flesh can do to you in that area, what other ways does it mess with us? Why do I get angry at that? Come on, we always see people. You ever go in Burger King parking lot, man, you see the line, man, you see some angry people there, man. I'm going to give you a Whopper. You better hurry up. But no, sometimes that happens. Sometimes it is, and it's because letting the flesh rule, it's letting him grow up, and that thing produces. And once that anger begins to grow, remember, you give the enemy place, and that thing begins to overcome you, it's overcoming you instead of you overcoming it. But it's with patience. It's letting God work out. Come on, say, work out of us. Work out of us, God. That's my prayer. God, work out of me daily, every day, every moment. Work out of my life. Work out of my experience. Work out of the situation. God, I need you to work out of this place. There's times when I go, honestly, when I'm at work and I'm driving there, and then the job is overwhelming. I'm saying, God, I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know how to, but I need you to work out of me, God. I need you to work out of this situation. God's looking for that. And all of a sudden, those moments come where everything works out. It is a moment for opportunity that I can look back like David and say, look at the lion that was defeated. Look at that. And the things that I was overwhelmed for a moment about, I said, God, you got to take this. God, you got to take this. Giving God the opportunity, because we hold on to things. We all know that when you want to fly high in a plane, what do you got to do? You got to check your baggage. You got to check your baggage at baggage claims before you get on the plane. There's some things that, listen, you will never be able to take off unless you check it in first. Amen? So listen, let me just go here. I got one more scripture. I just want to give this to you. And let me see. It's in Psalms. Psalms 105. And it says, Psalms 105, 13, I think. Let me jump up here. Oh, yeah, 11. Let me go to 11. He says, and saying unto thee will I give thee land of Canaan and the lot of your inheritance. See, I want you to see that he used that in the natural to show us in the spiritual that we're going to have through Christ. That what we can possess, the promises of God, are yes and amen. Everything that God's given to us, the promised land, And it says, and when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. I want you to let me lead you, because I'm going to change your situation. What happens is sometimes that we don't let God lead. We take the lead. And in that moment, God steps back. When we're working, God's resting. When we're resting, God's working. Come on. Listen, the Bible says on the seventh day, rest. How many of you guys know that Jesus is the seventh day? He is my rest. He's my Sabbath day. That I'm the rest in Christ. And on that day, God does this thing. That I need to sit back. I need not to do it. I need to trust God. And he says, and when they went from one to another, he says, he suffered no man to do them wrong. He says, in saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed. I want you to know you're anointed. And we got to tell our flesh, don't touch my the anointed in me. Come on. Sometimes our flesh tries to disrupt our anointing. Remember Saul? He tried to disrupt the anointing that was on David. Tried to get him off course. God says, don't touch my anointed. He says, remember Jesus said this? He says, a prophet is not welcome in his own town. Remember Jesus said that? I want you to know that he says, a prophet, one that declares, he says, isn't welcome in his own town. Sometimes I want you to know that sometimes we disrupt the prophet of God that's in us. The one that agrees with God. What is a prophet? They hear from heaven. And sometimes in our own flesh, we won't accept what God's saying. We don't welcome it. We need to make way for God. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, and he broke the whole staff of bread. And he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet was hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. I want you to see this, and it's so powerful. I'm done with this. It was so powerful with Joseph, and how that Joseph went from one situation to another. One disappointment. He was rejected by his family. But I want you to understand something. David began to say things at the beginning that wasn't ready to be said. He caused jealousy in his brothers because he said, you worship. He was immature. He was immature. But God wanted to work out of David or out of Joseph. He could have got mad in that moment and the promises would have never came to pass. He would have never possessed what God said. But with patience, he stayed the course. Even when the moment he says, no, dude, you're going to serve me. No, no. They made him a slave. They sold him, his own brothers, into slavery. And he could have said at that moment, oh, yeah, this ain't working out. Just like the disciples. When they're putting clean their nets. In our minds, we say, this ain't working out for me. How many of you have been there? Come on. How many times you have been there? Been in those situations where they're like, this ain't working out. And they took his robe off of him. Remember that robe that he had? Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes God will let our robes be the thing that we're prideful of, be taken off us. So that we can learn this. Ready? That what is in us is greater than what's on the outside of us. That's a powerful lesson. See, Joseph was learning that it didn't matter what was on the outside. It matters what's on the inside. And when you understand that, you become powerful. He was learning that. He was letting God work out of him. And step by step, from one place, then Potiphar's house, he was denied this and that, only doing the right thing, trying to do the right thing. You keep doing what's right. Come on. You keep doing what you know is right. You keep trusting God. You keep walking that path. You keep running after God. And you watch what God does. Because it'll come to a place that here's what happened. He kept the course, even though he was in chains. Even though the baker and the baker and the chef, what was it? Why am I not there? Remember, the two guys, whatever. The baker and the butcher. I think it was a butcher. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. I think it was. So here they were. They were both there. That's a baker. Yeah. That's a baker. That's what I was thinking in my head too. So here he was at that moment. He said, hey, don't forget, whenever you get out of here, don't forget to remember me. Guess what they did? They forgot all about him. I want you to know that God would let him forget about it because it wasn't time. Because listen, it's God's timing. Cupbearer. It's God's time. Tell someone God's time. I want you to know that we want it to be our time, but we need to let it be God's time. I want you to know God's time is eternal. Our time is temporary. It's temporary. Come on, amen. That we might feel that the joy of something in the moment that's temporary, but I want you to know that God's timing is eternal. So God, trust Him. This is what it says. And He says, whose feet they hurt and fetters, they laid iron upon Him until the time of His word came, and the word came, and the Lord tried Him. And says, and the king sent, loosed Him and the ruler of the people and let Him go free. And He made Him Lord of His house and ruler of the substance. Listen, He was possessing the land. And I want you to know that here's the thing that's powerful. What was working out of Him was not just for Him, but it was for a whole family. What God was doing in Joseph was not just for Joseph, but it was for his family. It was for those ones. I want you to know that for husbands, for wives, for children, for our children, for people around us, that what God's doing inside you is not just for you. For God so loved the world that He gave. God's a giving God. That's who He is. And the closer you get to Him, the more we know that. And the more we offer ourselves up. Say, here I am, God. And there's a sense of fulfillment whenever we let God do that. And we watch other people be blessed. We could stand strong. Because we're letting God do that. That's why sometimes we don't forgive. Because we try to do it in our own strength. That's why we have unforgiveness, unrepentiveness, is because we try to hold on to that and not let God work out of us. Because the closer we get to Him, the closer we get that place, whether we stand on His word, we keep the word. Tell your neighbor, keep the word. Keep the word. Remember this. God told Adam and Eve, He said, keep the garden. Keep it. The garden's a place of intimacy with God. It was where, that's where they walked with God. Unchallenged. Until they begin to have conversations with the enemy. But God says, keep the garden. We all know that man, remember Jesus? Adam turned the garden into a wilderness. And Jesus, when they found Him, where was He at? In the garden. He turned a wilderness into a garden. Say amen. They even mistook Him for the gardener. What was He gardening? Cultivating a relationship with you and God. He went to the cross, sowed the seed, so that why? So that we can have an unchallenged, unseparated connection with God. No dividers, no boundaries, but take hold of the promised land. All that He has. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for these ones that are here. I pray, God, Lord, blessing upon them. I pray to God, Lord, that right between our ears, God, Lord, is our biggest battles that we face. Lord, it is battles that we face that we argue, God, with You sometimes. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that You give us strength. I pray to God, Lord, that we stay in that place. I pray that we behold the Lamb of God. I pray that daily, God, we stop and we take hold, to God, Lord, of all that You have for us, God. And we give You opportunity in moments in our lives, in temptations, and things that we go through for You to get the glory, God. For You to step in the midst, God. For You to stand in the midst of that situation, to God, Lord, that we don't have to fear because God's with me. Hallelujah. And we can know that and we can walk in confidence, hallelujah, no longer fearing, but walking in boldness that You've called us to walk in. And we declare it and we thank You in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you all.